Well, we're in a brief series about spiritual warfare. It's spiritual warfare 101, so it's basic. I mean, if you're expecting some real weird, deep, you know, thing, it's not going to be that. But it's just basic teaching and some principles, some things that every Christian ought to know and understand about this spiritual war that we are in. There really is a spiritual war. And it is a battle for the souls of men and women and young people and children. We need to remember this. This is what this war is about. Listen, this is what God cares about in this world. The only thing in this world that's going to matter on into eternity is people, the souls of people. And so that's what this battle is ultimately about. And we need to never forget that. The book of Ephesians is our primary text for this study. And you know, the book of Ephesians has so many powerful truths and things that you could teach. But I just want you to understand that in many ways, a lot of the subjects and the truths of this book relate to spiritual warfare. And it all leads up to Ephesians 6:10. Finally, brethren, he gets to that place. He says, finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Now, next week, we're going to focus on Ephesians 6:10, but we need to understand some truths before we're ready to stand against all the wiles of the devil. First, we need to know who we are in Christ. And we talked about this last week, but we need to understand some of those basic truths. Because we're not fighting to get the victory. We're fighting with the victory already. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So we're fighting from a position of strength. We are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So we are in a place of rest. We need to understand there are some things that God has already done for us. There's a great victory that's already been won. We've already been redeemed. We've already been forgiven. We've already been made righteous if you're a child of God. Amen. We need to remember who we are in Christ, and we need to know that he is on our side. If God be for us, who can be against us? Well, the devil, he's going to try, but I'll tell you, he's no match for our God. And we need to remember these things. Too often, somehow or another, it seems like we end up getting beat up, losing. I mean, we have so much on our side. How is it that somehow or another, so much of the time, the body of Christ seems to be losing in at least part of the battle? Well, I want to tell you that this word tonight speaks to that very issue. We have to not give aid to the enemy. Don't give aid to the enemy. I want to tell you, it goes on every day, all day long. People are giving the devil way too much help. I'm talking about Christians. I'm not talking about the atheists. I'm not talking about people of some weird religion. I'm talking about Christians giving aid to the enemy. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 1, Paul says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. Now, walk in Scripture refers to our conduct. It's how we live. And we have to live up to the calling of Christ in our life. Our position in him is something he did, but we have to live it out. Amen. We didn't earn that, but we have to live it out in our life on a day-to-day basis. I mean, who we are in him, that's something he did. But then we're supposed to let it show in our life. We got to live a different kind of life. You can't live the same old life. I mean, if you live the same old life, you're not going to win this battle, I'm telling you. You got to live a different, something happened. You're a new creation in Christ. You can't live that same old way. You got to be different. You know, there's a young soldier. He was promoted to a higher rank. And, you know, he had all of his buddies, his friends. They were all the same rank. But when he got promoted to a higher rank, you know, everything was cool. Everything was fine until he had to give orders. He couldn't just be one of the guys anymore because he had been put in a higher place. And I want to tell you, as a child of God, you got to realize you can't live the same way anymore. Things have changed. You gotta live a different life. What does this have to do with spiritual warfare? See, I want you to understand, we got to learn how to walk before we learn how to stand and fight. You got to know how to walk first. And the Bible has a whole lot to tell us about how to walk, and especially in the book of Ephesians. So here's the thing. Believers that don't live right do more harm to the cause of Christ than good. They do more harm to this war effort than good. It's not a game. It's real. I mean, I've known some people who like to talk like they were real spiritual, like they knew all about spiritual warfare, but they didn't treat other people right. They totally miss what spiritual warfare is all about, because it's all about people. That's what matters. I'm going to say it again. With the Lord, it's always all about people. Amen. That's what he cares about. And that's why we fight, is for people. If we're going to fight right, you got to learn to walk right. So the book of Ephesians tells us how to walk. We're going to go to Ephesians 2, 1 and 2. And you, he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins. Wow, this is something he did. He made alive who were dead in trespasses and sin, in which you once walked. See, that's how you used to walk. That's how you used to live, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. Who's that? That's right, that's the devil. The spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. See, these things aren't talked a whole lot about in our culture or even in church culture, but there's a spirit that's at work in the sons of disobedience. It's the spirit of the enemy. It's that prince of the power of the air. That's not who we are anymore. And we can't allow that spirit to influence us anymore. See, how we live and what we say has everything to do with spiritual warfare. Let me just, I'm not going to give you time to turn to these. We're not going to put them on the screen, but Ephesians 4:1 says, walk worthy of your calling. Ephesians 4:17 tells us we should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind. Ephesians 5:2 tells us to walk in love. Ephesians 5:8 says, walk as children of light. Ephesians 5:15 says that we should walk wisely. Walk. This is about walking out, living out your Christianity. And it's how we show that our Christianity is real. It's not because we say this or because we say that or we got the bumper sticker or whatever else. It's the way we live our life on a day-to-day basis. What is this war about? It's about souls. And how we live has everything to do with whether or not we reach people. It has everything to do with whether or not those around us are strengthened and encouraged and built up, and whether or not even that they make it. walking it out. You know, a lot of the time, this world, they call us hypocrites, and it's not justified. It's them trying to justify themselves. But the truth is that too often it is justified, because too often Christians are not really living what they profess. So back to Ephesians 4, verse 1 again. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. What does that look like, to walk worthy of our calling? Well, he gives part of it to us in the next two verses. This is how you're supposed to walk worthy, with all lowliness and gentleness. Well, we could just stop right on the first one, lowliness. And we could just talk about that the rest of the night, because I want to tell you, I don't see a whole lot of lowliness in this world, and not even in the body of Christ. Instead, we see people exalting themselves and being put up on a pedestal and, oh, look at me, look what I did. How about lowliness? Humility. Being contrite before God. I was reading this week in the scripture where God says that he's close to the contrite. What happened to that in the body of Christ? It seems like so much of the time we've just kind of gone the world's way in our attitudes in regard to humility and pride. And then he says gentleness. Wow. What's it look like to live a life worthy of your calling? To be gentle? Are you gentle? I tell you, it's all the rage to be rough and gruff. Then he says, with long-suffering. Long-suffering? That doesn't sound good. You know what that means? Suffering long. But here's the thing. There's a time. You see, we got to be willing to go through hard places. We got to be willing to be put upon. Bearing with one another in love. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. You see, bearing with one another in love. Bearing with, yes, you put up with, you bear with the faults, the flaws, all of it. Bearing with one another in love. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. This is critical for spiritual warfare. Right. Keep the unity. I want to tell you that in the military, when they break ranks and they don't have unity, things fall apart real quick. It's the same way in the church, in the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's so important that we keep the unity. And you need to understand that one of Satan's tactics is always to divide, to get people to fight against one another. We read it already tonight from Ephesians 6:12. Our fight is not against flesh and blood, but against the powers of darkness. And yet somehow or another, Satan manages to get people to fight against one another. Here's the thing. Satan has no power. There's just nothing he can do against a church that is truly in unity. I'm not saying he's not going to attack. I'm just saying that he's not going to win. When a church is in unity, listen, Jesus said even the gates of hell will not be able to stand against his church. But you see, the way Satan works is to deceive and slide his way in and get people fighting against one another. And it disrupts and even destroys what God would have done when we allow. See, that's giving aid to the enemy. When we allow him to get in and to divide. It's amazing how people can come up with reasons to divide and fight, and be against one another. All kinds of ways, all kinds of reasons. It doesn't matter if it's politics or this issue, that issue, or, you know, the old favorite is doctrinal purity. And this denomination, we're against that denomination. We're against them and this group. Well, we're all against that group. You know, we don't believe like them. You know, we're against them. We're opposed to them. And then even in the same church, oh my goodness. Somebody come to the church and they love the church and they love the people and they love the teaching. And oh, but then one day you said this, you know, you started teaching that and I don't believe in that. I'm against that. We're going to have a problem if you're going to teach that now. And here we go. And here comes giving aid to the enemy. Come on in, devil. Church, we cannot allow the enemy. It doesn't matter if we disagree with somebody. We don't give the enemy a chance. Good grief. We're supposed to bear with one another in love. Looking for something wrong. Looking for some way to divide and separate. It's amazing how much time and energy believers will spend fighting with one another. You ever watched a football game, or maybe you've seen some clips of where some guys on the same team are all fighting each other for a fumble? Or maybe you've even seen the rare situation where a guy gets the ball and he's running the wrong direction. That's a Christian that's in strife with other believers. You are going the wrong direction. You are working for the wrong team. See, and here's the thing. We need to realize that the devil is really sly about this. And usually when we're doing it, we feel real self-righteous. You know, we got righteous indignation and everybody's wrong and I'm right. You're going the wrong way. No, I ain't. I'm just telling you that we need to be careful. We need to be on guard against this deception of setting ourselves against other believers. That's right. I didn't say you got to agree with them. I'm just saying we don't want to get in strife. You know, soldiers so often have been wounded or even killed by friendly fire. But how true is that in the church? But here's what's really crazy is that in the church, so often, well, they weren't even aiming at the enemy. They were aiming at that person. And it's amazing to me how Christians will attack ministers and other preachers. And I just want to say, I don't want to hear it. I'm not interested. I'm not interested in hearing your critique of some preacher. Well, they said this and they... I don't want to hear it. It doesn't edify me. And I'm not going to do it. I don't know if y'all have noticed this. I don't do that. I don't talk about, did you hear brother so-and-so? This guy on TV, you know, he blah, blah, blah. I don't do that. You know why? Because I'm not taking the chance that I'm criticizing a servant of the Lord. I'm just not going to give aid to the enemy. I'm not going to do that. It's not my place to judge another man's servant. Here's the main thing though. I mean, I just want to be obedient to the Lord. And I'm not going to waste my time tearing somebody down. Paul said, whether they're preaching in pretense or sincerity, I'm glad it's getting preached. Amen. That's what Paul said. And instead of speaking against people, let's just be about the master's business. And I know this may sound hard or extreme, but it's the truth. When we fight against our brothers and sisters, we're fighting on the devil's side. It's a special kind of stupid. Giving aid to the enemy. Helping the devil. And I'm saying it so blunt tonight because, as I said, I know how easy it is, even when we're sincere, if we're not on guard, we'll fall into that trap. And I just want to say, our battle is not with flesh and blood. That's not where your battle is. Your battle is with the powers of darkness. So we don't involve ourselves in strife. It is the devil's work. You know, we don't have this here. And I thank the Lord for his blessing on this church, his grace that's been upon us. But anybody ever heard of churches getting in the big fight and having the big split and this group was mad at that group and it all just blew up? That's the devil. It ain't never God. He doesn't work that way. That's the devil. Don't give place to the devil. Don't give him an open door. James 3, 14 and 16 says, if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, the King James says strife instead of self-seeking. One is the cause and the other is the result. Do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. What wisdom? Bitter envy and strife, self-seeking. He says, for where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. See, Satan uses deception and he makes people think their fight is with flesh and blood. And consequently, they are ineffective in their fight against the devil. And instead, they end up being a tool of the devil. Don't be a tool. Don't be used by the devil. Don't give aid to the enemy. Whenever we have strife and division, we're undermining the Lord's work. And we show ourselves to be carnal and immature. We got to be, this is a spiritual battle. And to fight in a spiritual battle, I mean, to be ready to stand against all the wiles of the devil, you got to be a spiritual person. Amen. You can't be a carnal baby Christian. You got to be a spiritual person. You know how I know this? Well, my goodness. 1 Corinthians 3, 1 through 3. And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it. And even now you're still not able, for you're still carnal. For where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? See, if you're involved in strife and division, the scripture says you're a carnal baby. Now, it's kind of strange when he says behaving like mere men. What else would we be? But he's talking about you're just acting like unregenerate men instead of acting like people that have been born again. Y'all are kind of quiet. I mean, I hear a few of you, but some of you, you're awful quiet tonight. This is supposed to be about spiritual warfare. It is. It absolutely is. This is so basic. We need to understand this truth that it has everything to do with how we live and how we treat people and how we talk. Amen. Spiritual warfare just isn't when you get away in the closet, you know, and you're casting down imagination and you're tearing down kingdoms and uprooting and building them. Hallelujah, hallelujah. It don't work that way. It has everything to do with the way you live. That in the prayer closet doesn't work when you're not doing this part out here right. It takes spiritual people to do spiritual warfare. It's not pretend. Eternal souls are at stake. We're supposed to Stand in the gap. Be ready to fight this battle. And that's with the powers of darkness. Don't fight with somebody you're going to be spending eternity with. I have to address this temptation. You know, whether it's you got upset and you're mad at somebody, or it has to do something to do with the doctrines and beliefs and this and that. You know, one of the ways that we can kind of get around this is we just say, well, you know what? They're not really a Christian. They don't believe right. So they're not really my brother, my sister in the Lord. I've seen the video of people standing outside a Billy Graham crusade, and they're yelling at the people going in and saying, "You're going to hell! You're going to hell! You're all going to hell!" Because they don't believe in what the way Billy Graham preaches salvation. And so they're yelling at everybody going in, telling them they're going to hell. And these people actually believe that they're doing something for God. I want to tell you, it is not our place to judge somebody else whether or not they're going to heaven. And you're putting yourself in a dangerous place when you judge somebody, because you're going to be judged. That's what Jesus said. That's what the book of Romans says. When you judge, you're going to be judged. So we don't judge somebody and say, "They're not even my brother." Oh, don't ever do that. That's another trick of the devil. And where are you going to stop that? Y'all just bear with me. My notes got scrambled. I decided they weren't right. They weren't in the right order. But we're going to make it. We're going to get there. Ephesians 4:25. Let's pick it up there. "Therefore, putting away lying, let each one speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. The devil's the father of lies. Don't do his work for him. Speak the truth. Speak the truth in love, but speak the truth. Be angry and sin not. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil." He says, nor give place to the devil. Give place to the devil. That's what you call giving aid to the enemy. That's give the devil an opportunity. Give him an open door. No, don't open the door for the devil. Well, how do you do that? Get angry. Let the sun go down on your wrath. I want to tell you that is an open door for the devil. See, you get all mad at your spouse and you just start blowing up and yelling and carrying on, and you talk about spiritual warfare. You're losing the battle big. You just swung wide the door. You can pray and act all spiritual all you want to, but you blow up and act like that, you just swung wide the door for the devil to bring his worst into your home and your family. You can't allow that outburst of anger to get the best of. Be angry and sin not. You don't let it get control of you. Instead, you control it. Then he says, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. You know what that means? That means you're going to have to get in your prayer closet and get it right before God. You're going to have to get that off of you. Get free from it. You pray and you get free from it before you go to sleep. I'm talking about spiritual warfare. I'm telling you, this is how the devil gets in and destroys and wreaks havoc in homes, in workplaces, in schools, and in the church. Anger, He gets people turned sideways, and all of a sudden he's got, listen, he's got a foothold. Don't give place to the devil. Verse 28 says, let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give to him who has need. The devil's a thief. We don't want any part of that. Amen. But then he also says, we're to work so we have to give to those in need. Amen. Then, verse 29, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. Satan is the accuser of the brethren. We talked about this last week. But he's the one that's always trying to tear down, always trying to discourage, always trying to get believers to talk bad about other believers. And no, I'm not going to tell you nothing about it, but I was talking to my wife earlier and, you know, just having the conversation, and all of a sudden I find myself, I'm saying some negative things about somebody that I used to know, and I'm like, man, it's so easy to slip over into that. And here he tells us, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but only, here's where it gets tough, only what is good or useful for building others up. Wow. Reminds me of James 1:26. If you don't bridle your tongue, he says your religion is useless. We got to get control of it, because I want to tell you that the enemy is always trying. See, he's the accuser of the brethren, and he always tries to get us to do his work for him. Giving aid to the enemy. Verse 30, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Oh yes, we talked about how we've been redeemed already. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit. What would grieve the Holy Spirit? Well, he tells us, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Our culture is full of all of these things. But there's way too much of it in the body of Christ. And so many Christians have just gone right along with that same spirit. Bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking, malice. He says, let it be put away from you. You see, will we allow these things in our life? We're fighting on the wrong team. This is not how our Lord moves. This is not how he works. This is how the devil moves and how the devil works. Malice and anger, upset and mad. It's not who we are. That's the spirit that's at work in the children of disobedience. And it gives aid to the enemy. When you lose your temper or you fight with someone, I know I already said this, but it needs to be said again. You're opening the door for the devil in that relationship. See, if you want to see God move in your workplace, that has everything to do with your attitude and the things you do and the things you say. In our homes, if you want to see somebody get saved, you want to see a certain family in church? Again, has everything to do with your attitude and your conduct and the things that you say. This is a spiritual warfare, and those things all matter. Verse 32, he says, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Be kind to one another. Kind, kind. What would that look like for you? What would it look like in regard to that person? Tender-hearted. So many calloused hearts today. Don't be one. A lot of people are just afraid to be tender-hearted. You might get hurt. Well, you will. I want to tell you something about ministry. Real simple. If you've been in it, done it very much at all, you know. You're going to get hurt. And it's so worth it. 1,000 times worth it. Just to know that somehow God might have used you in some way to help somebody else along their way. Yeah, it's worth it when somebody's mean and ugly and hurts you. It's worth it. It's so worth it. Be tender-hearted. You can't reach anybody if you got a calloused heart. And forgive, even as Christ forgave you. We got to do that. If we don't, if we have unforgiveness, we're giving aid to the enemy. We just can't fight with each other. Then Ephesians 5:1, therefore be imitators of God as dear children and walk in love as Christ also loved us and has given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling aroma. Walk in love. Be an imitator of God. This is powerful. See, if we can do this, walk in love as Jesus did. This is how we fight. I know that doesn't appeal to the flesh. I've actually known Christians that think we're supposed to all get some guns and fight. How did Jesus do it? How did he win the greatest battle of all eternity? By loving us enough to die on the cross for us. This is how he did it. And the Bible tells us that we are to follow him. That we're just like Jesus, we're to love and forgive. That's how we fight. That's how we win. You know how, what's this battle about? Souls of men and women and young people and children. And you know how we fight? You know how we win? We love people. Even when it hurts, even when it costs us, even when there's sacrifice. He loved us and gave himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling aroma. Walk in love as Christ also. Don't give aid to the enemy. Let's read on in Ephesians. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be named among you as is fitting saints. Neither filthiness nor foolish talk nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. I want to tell you, you're not ready to stand against all the wiles of the devil if you're living an unholy life. You got to clean it up. You got to live in this world in such a way that you bring glory and honor to God, and the devil has no way to get a foothold against you. Because when we walk in the darkness, when we're in disobedience to God, we're giving aid to the enemy. Bring reproach on the name of Christ and undermine his church. And we've all seen this in our time, so many examples where some notable minister falls into sin. But you know, on a smaller scale, it's true. Anytime a believer allows themselves to live a life that doesn't please God, It undermines our witness, brings reproach on the Lord. When we walk in darkness, see, if we're really serious about serving God and doing spiritual warfare, I'm going to say it one last time. It's not just about the prayer closet. Don't misunderstand me. The prayer closet is so important. The prayer is where that power comes. But I want to tell you, we got to walk right before we're ready to stand against all the wiles of the devil. Be wise. Be ready. Don't do the devil's work. Don't aid the enemy. See, when we know who we are in Christ, and when we live it out in our life, we live a life that's worthy of our calling, I want to tell you, we can have victory. We can overcome. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, when we're living like that, we don't have anything to fear. We don't have any doubts, because we know that even the very gates of hell cannot stop the church. That's the truth. We're fighting with the victory, but I'm telling you, we can have absolute confidence that we're going to win when we stand for the Lord and live the way He wants us to. I want you to stand with me right now, and I want us to just pray.